For rights reasons, we are not able to include all of the music featured in the original Cabinet of Jazz radio series. I would urge you, beg you, plead with you to head in the direction of whatever streaming service you have or vinyl records you have or whatever you've got and go and listen to this incredible music.
This is the Cabinet of Jazz with Marcus Brigstock on Jazz FM. Listening colour.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Cabinet of Jazz, recorded live at Pizza Express Soho for Jazz FM. Delight to be here. I am Marcus Brigstock, and I got to tell you, inspired by Dizzy Gillespie's presidential run in 1964. Did you know he ran for president in 1964? Well, he actually did. Tonight, I will inaugurate a new president of jazz. Their task will be to assemble a cabinet of musicians to help them run the world and make it a better place. Now, I often wonder, as I'm sure you do, how cabinet reshuffles actually happen. You know, I mean, what's the process? I assume at the moment it's basically the Prime Minister going, "So, next slide, please. Who hasn't been disgraced? Good. Give them a job. Can we get Matt Hancock back so we can blame everything on him again? No? He's gone. All right." Yeah, Boris Johnson's very much in the free jazz approach to governing. But tonight, the president will need to choose from musicians from the world of jazz, soul and blues to make up her cabinet. Ladies and gentlemen, Claire Martin. The multi-award winning jazz superstar Claire Martin. Claire's career spans three decades, during which time she scooped eight prizes at the British Jazz Awards and has been awarded an OBE for her services to jazz.
I know.
An OBE. Never mind an OBE. You're president tonight, lady.
I know. That's much better.
Yeah, it's way better. Do you feel ready to be our president?
Well, I feel, yeah.
It's a big responsibility.
I know. I'm willing to step up to the plate for jazz and...
Now, under normal circumstances, obviously, a new president would swear in on a copy of the Bible, but Waterstones have completely sold out, so couldn't get one. And anyway, Claire, you've chosen something much more appropriate. What are you going to swear in on?
Well, I'm going to swear in on the, and I was hoping that it was on vinyl, but it isn't, but it's Shirley Horn's fantastic album, Here's to Life. It's absolutely sublime. And so for me, this is like the Bible.
Absolutely. It's a very good choice.
Thank you.
I wish that the people listening to this at home could be here in the room with all of us at Pizza Express because we've got something very, very special here. We've actually got the original reel-to-reel recording, which I'm putting in front of Claire now. And the people at home, sadly, won't see it. Now, please be very careful. This is on loan. That's the original reel-to-reel tape. Thank you. Yes.
Oh my God,
it's quite something,
say.
Isn't it? Well, we managed to get hold of it for you to swear
so
in on. As I say, it's on loan. I wish I could gift it to you, but that's what you get if you come to the live recordings, guys. Those of you listening at home, you're missing out on this little piece of magic that we have here. So, Claire, I'm going to get you to please put your hand on that original recording of Here's to Life, and if you could read the oath that I've written for you.
I place my hand upon Shirley Horn.
Steady.
And I do. And I do solemnly swear that I will lead the United States of Jazz with all the soul, heart, optimism, and grace as Here's to Life celebrates. May all our storms be weathered and all that's good get better. Here's to life. Here's to love. Here's to you. So help me, Diz.
Our president, ladies and gentlemen, you've sworn in. That's
thank
it.
You, thank you very
There's
much.
There's no
thank
going you. Back now. I'll take that reel to reel if you don't mind. Oh, thank you very much. Now, look, here's an important question. Do you think that the world would be a better place if it was run by jazz musicians? Here we go again. Every week.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, you know, I think the world would be much more creative. I think there'd be a much more sort of fair policy. I think people would be more caring. I think people would be more creative. But a lot of jazz musicians, I have to say, are a little bit disorganized and can be so involved in the art, and rightly so, that they sometimes, you know, aren't taking care of business. So it would be fun. It'd be a fun ride. But would it be organized? Not so sure. So I'm 50-50. I'm thinking give all the female jazzers a chance first.
Yes.
Perhaps there we go.
Yeah.
And then we might just leave it at that. But
I mean, I think I think just more women in politics would be a progressive start.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But no, I think it'd be a fun time. It would be better than what we've got now, right? I mean, come on.
That's what we want from politics, a fun time.
We want a fun time. Yeah.
There are aspects of being a performer, and particularly in jazz music, I think, that qualify them very well for politics.
Yeah, winging it. On the hoof, not knowing what you're going to say next.
Exactly.
You know, repeating yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those things.
And being able, I mean, you walked in, you met Deschanel Gordon, our pianist this evening.
At 5 o'clock. Yeah, I did.
At 5 o'clock.
Yep.
And then you got up and you created something that was absolutely spellbinding and beautiful. You can only do that by being able to listen and collaborate. So,
yes,
you know.
We listen, we collaborate. We found a common ground. We talked about who we liked. Yeah, that's true. We did have some kind of real sort of understanding of each other. So, yeah, let's give it a go.
Exactly. And listen, we can say with much more safety in this day and age that jazz musicians would run the world well, because few of them are dangerous, unhinged junkies. I mean, if we were making this back in the 50s, it would have been
a
complete non-starter.
Yeah, I have to say, as you brought that up, I had a lot of musicians. I was like, yeah, there we go. Oh, she would have been, oh, no, is that because they all ended up on
I'm really interested in that. So your selection process, ruled some people out for being too flaky.
They just were killing themselves before they got to 40, you know. It's like, oh, I don't know about that. But yeah, I think it'll be different then. You're right.
All right. Well, I've seen your four selections for this evening. And we've got a real treat ahead of us. A real treat. Now, we've met and inaugurated our President of the Week. So now we need to find out who is in your cabinet. First up, let's hear a selection from your choice for Secretary of Education. Who was that saying favourite things?
That was the great Betty Carter. And she will be my Secretary of Education, please.
Now, why? Why do you want Betty Carter to be Secretary of Education?
Well, I mean, Betty Carter was phenomenal. I mean, those of you that recognise that, I mean, she's just such an original in our music, perhaps the only ever true real jazz singer. But she had a lot to do with education in as far as her band were often very young men. So she was really interested in, you know, nurturing the younger generation and giving them opportunities with her in her band to go around the world and experience great festivals and wonderful jazz clubs. I think that in itself was brilliant, because she was constantly trying to, and lots of real great names went through Betty Carter's band, first of all, like John Hicks, Mulgrew Miller, the great Kenny Washington, the drummer, who I've since met and worked with, and we talked about that. She really gave her heart and soul. But I think what really made me think, no, she would be brilliant, is she's slightly scary, a little
That's
bit
what
kind
you
of,
want, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit kind of, you know, ooh. In fact, once I knocked on the door at Ronnie Scott's to get my CD signed, and she said, come in. And I just went, oh, and I was shaking. Hi, Betty. Will you sign this? And she went, oh, somebody bought it then. And I just went, yes, it was me. And I stood there and quaking, but she signed it. And it was like, oh, okay, I was absolutely in touch of greatness. But she did something very important, Marcus, which I think is worth talking about, which was in 1993, which was perhaps her biggest year of innovation. She created a program called Jazz Ahead, which is still going now. It happens at the Kennedy Center, and 20 young jazz students were able to go with her for a week, and she would just absolutely mentor them for a week. She would teach them composition, she would talk about dynamics on stage behind a singer. It really was a great opportunity, and that's continued, and I think that's a really important lesson.
I mean, that's proper, you know, in terms of being Secretary for Education. That's the real deal.
It is. And I think what she got from it, apart from the satisfaction of being able to, you know, pass on this knowledge, is that she got the figure and the energy of youth on stage. They were just dynamic. Her band were just terrific. And they powered along, not always just trying to prove themselves, but just to give the fire to the music. So everybody was sort of got something from that, you know. And I remember seeing her at Ronnie Scott's, and in my early 20s, I mean, I was mesmerised. And then the other half of me was thinking, oh, what else can I do then? I think my mum's a hairdresser. I wonder if she wants a shampoo girl, because this is something else. You know, she really was something else. I think so. All the singers that have seen her, she's an eye opener. She's an inspiration. And yeah.
Tell me what happens though, because I feel like that sometimes. I go and see, you know, people that I know working in comedy, and they do a set that's so great. I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe I'm,
I know,
maybe I should stop. But it, I'm perhaps just because I'm arrogant. A little while afterwards, I go, no. The whole point of this is that was inspiring. You don't have to be that. You don't have to replicate that. You go on, you make the next thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think we all feel like that. I used to think, well, you know, it's really tricky. I'm sort of, I was in my early 20s, South London girl, and, you know, this is Black American music. There's this woman who's just phenomenal. What can I bring to this? But I, like you, I sort of went off, and then I suddenly think, no, I will keep going, because I want to sing the songs that she wrote for a start and keep talking about her. And I want to be able to just keep this music going and just bring my stamp to it.
And how do you select the musicians that you're going to work with?
At the moment, my band are all Swedish, actually. I went and did a tour in Sweden, and I met these three guys, and they were just fantastic. And we were all new to each other, because I've done it quite a while now. I've played with a lot of people in this country. So I'm often on the look when I'm out on the road.
When you're working with Swedish musicians, yeah. Do you have to assemble them from a flat pack or oh, come on. I just said I've been having doubts and thinking about giving up.
Well, they speak better English than me, and they're lovely. Sometimes it's like that, or sometimes it's just like players in this country that are just great, and they've always been great, that I've just have in a sort of pool of people that I work with. But I think hearing it Deschanel tonight, though, that's inspiring, isn't it? So I might take a leaf from Betty Carter and just get like a young band and just
Don't fire the Swedes, for heaven's sake.
No, but
I love that. You know, there's a real history of that in jazz. You know, Art Blakey with the messengers. Miles Davis did it. Yeah. You know, they kept going to younger people, if nothing else, to keep them fresh and to keep them interested. Yeah. And it does seem to be, when we talked about this before, you said Betty sends the elevator back down.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great way of describing it.
Yeah, totally. They've all gone on to do something very special. They've had that, you know, they had that experience. And that's amazing. She was doing really great festivals towards the end of her days. And
were you glad you met her at Ronnie's and that she was a bit rude?
Yeah, I think so. Because
it didn't come under that, like, never meet your heroes thing.
No, it was exactly what I wanted, really, because she was mid-set. And so she was, you know, she was upbeat and she was up for it. I wanted to feel like that, really, because I was just in awe of her. I didn't want to be a mate. You know, I wanted to just, you know, can I touch your shoe? But no, and then she went on to do a second set. She was something else. But the education aspect, I think, what she's left behind and still doing the jazz ahead, that's really important. And I think her aim was to have a legacy like that. And I think she'd be great. And as I said, slightly scary as well, which is important. I think
you want that as Secretary of Education. You don't want to push over.
No, exactly. Yeah. So that was my idea. I thought better.
Well, I got to say, I mean, you know, I'm supposed to provide a bit of resistance at this stage and say, oh, no, probably not. I don't think you've thought this through, but you really have thought this through. I mean, you've done the research. I don't see any way I can deny this, but this is at least nominally democratic. I'm going to put it to the audience. Do you think that's a reasonable choice, Betty Carter for Secretary of Education?
Thank you very much.
Well, there we go. I think you got the first one over the line, yes. Madam President. It would be no good, by the way, if you as president are scared of your own Secretary for Education. You'll have to keep her in line and tell her what you want. Well, speaking of which, I mean, what would you like to see in terms of music education in schools and stuff? You're the president now. You can guide this.
Straight away, I'd say without a shadow of a doubt, free music education for all. Free lessons for every child in every school. And even if they want to come out in the sixth form, not only that, instruments, to have access to instruments. Mm-hmm. So that somebody who's 8 or 9 years old can actually go and pick up a trombone or have a saxophone or, you know, so that's what...
Exactly. Why should it only be the parents of precocious children who suffer?
Get them a trumpet. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, at least I waited to start learning the trumpet until I was an adult and I didn't have to be looked after by anyone other than the teacher.
Yeah.
I started with the trombone. I did it because I knew when it was getting really difficult, I could just cheer myself up by going... And that genuinely worked for ages. And then the trombone is too hard to play. I don't know how anybody...
anybody. It is really hard, isn't it? But I mean, music education now is just, as we all know, it's getting less and less, and it breaks my heart. And I think of all those kids that might be great, you know, but they never get a chance. I'd really like to change that, please.
Okay. Well, you're president now, so we'll do what you say.
Thank you.
Via Betty Carter. All right. Let's go on. Your second nomination. Now, this is for Secretary of Transport. So let's hear some music from this artist.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Then you can tell us who it is. Who were we listening to there?
Pat Metheny. Pat Metheny, guitarist.
Pat Metheny, and that was the first circle. By Pat Metheny. Now, you want Pat to be the Secretary for Transport.
I really do.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very lucky. When I was working on Radio 3, I interviewed him a couple of times, and he's very, very prolific. He never, ever goes home. He's always on the road. He'll just be perfect, won't he? You'll know all the wins, you know, how to blag into airport lounges, you know, the best bacon sandwiches, the best place to put your coat. I just thought it'd be a font of knowledge. He'd know the cleanest toilets. And he'd have all the sort of like, you know, ask for that room because it's quiet. He'd just be the guy. Because I was looking at his tour dates just for this 21-22. I mean, he's in America at the moment. Then he goes to Brazil and Chile, and then he goes to Argentina. Then he nips over to Peru, Mexico, Canada. Then he's in Germany, Italy, Switzerland, Poland and Spain. That's the next six months. And he's like that all the time. So he's constantly on the road. I thought it'd be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the experience,
definitely. He's got the experience. It'd be better than Waze. He'd be like, take a left there, you know.
But would he be one of those people, like a man, who knows better than the sat-nav? No, ignore that. Ignore that. That's telling you to go up this. No, ignore that. Go this way. That's me, basically, in the car. Yeah.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, but while my wife looks at the sat nav and go, I mean, it's saying go that way. Yeah, it doesn't know.
I kind of think Pat's, he's such a personable guy. He's so sweet. And I think he wouldn't argue with the sat nav. But I don't think he'd have a sat nav. He's been on the road for so long, 40 years on the road. He would just know. He might glance at it. So I kind of thought he would be a really good idea because...
It seems solid. I mean, we need to check a couple of things, though, just like in terms of security clearance and stuff. If he's permanently on the road, has he got an incredibly angry family?
I think so, because once I asked him when we were talking about our kids and the teeth falling out, how much you put under the pillow now, because it's, you know, the tooth fairy's getting expensive. And I said, the tooth fairy's getting expensive, isn't it, Pat? And he sort of went, I guess, because he wasn't home doing it, was he? His wife was doing it. But she's probably very understanding. She might meet him in glamorous places, Switzerland I'd go to if I was her, maybe pop to Peru, meet up.
I mean, as well as being a sensational musician, he is also very wise, I think. He says, jazz isn't a destination for me. For me, jazz is a vehicle that takes you to the true destination, a musical one that describes all kinds of stuff about the human condition. Yeah. He is an incredible musician.
He's an incredible musician, and he's very intense, and he's really friendly. And he's got, and I said to him, so tell me what it's like, Pat, before you do a gig. And he said, well, I don't speak all day of the gig. I don't speak. I don't say a word. That's kind of a singer's thing. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Get that. And he said, oh, and I don't eat. I don't eat a thing all day before I do the gig. I just want to be like clear on stage. And I said, yeah, but then you have a beer, don't you? Have a beer after. He said, no, I don't drink either. And I'm like, oh, Pat, you know. He sort of diminished. So he's quite a clean living guy. And I think that must help him with this amazing stamina that he's got.
You do quite a lot of that now, the day of a gig.
What, not speaking?
Yeah.
That's what I do, yeah. I don't speak. Yeah, well, we'll try not to speak too much. But that's a real singer's thing, because you just want to try and have enough for the stage and... You know, the all-night parties, you know.
Yeah, sure. I worry about someone having a ministerial position who isn't practicing basic self-care during the day. For his music, clearly, you know, if you've ever seen Pat Metheny live, you will know it is an astonishing performance. But, like, you're asking him to take on a position of state, you know, if he's all wobbly and vague and refusing to speak because he's going to play later on.
Actually, that's true. I didn't think that through. Yeah, well, no, you're right.
But I mean, you did think it through, because he knows, as you say, you know, he knows how to get from A to B.
He sure does. And but he probably would be quite faint and hungry.
Well, look, as I think I've made clear, I have got some
concerns. I feel like this one's not going to roll.
Yeah, no, I don't think I can let Pat.
Oh,
I don't think I can let him be Secretary of State for Transport.
Okay. I should have done Secretary of State for Hair, shouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly. Or for Secretary of State for the Elderly. No, I mean, because he just goes and goes,
goes and goes.
His energy is incredible.
His energy is great. Can I, and just as a little stat, just to talk, I mean, he has won 20 Grammy Awards, and he is the only person to have won 10 Grammys in 10 different categories. Now, that is a serious, you know, a musician that's really left his mark on the planet. So he may not be accepted for this, but I still love him very much.
Yeah, well, he's absolutely brilliant. I'll keep mulling it over and we'll see. I'll tell you what, in the meantime, I've set the audience to work here at Pizza Express Soho, and they've been coming up with their own ideas for cabinet members. So as president, I want you to give your thoughts on these. And it's interesting, a few of these that have been mentioned have not been picked by any of our presidents across the Cabinet of Jazz. But there's some good suggestions here. Oscar Peterson, and his role would simply be Ambassador for Jazz. No one's picked Oscar Peterson
yet. Yeah, I'm clapping that.
I mean, the first applause clearly came from the man who wrote Oscar Peterson down. But I've been surprised that no one's picked Oscar Peterson.
Yeah, they will, I think.
Yeah,
for sure.
Who else? Fats Waller, Prime Minister. And the reason they've given is he had many girlfriends and could consume copious amounts of alcohol daily. Also, great pianist. pretty decent Prime Minister. Chancellor, Buddy Rich.
Ooh, yeah.
Quite full on. He'd run things tight. He ran a very tight band. And I really like this suggestion. Minister for Entertainment, Eric Morecambe. Yeah, well, he played all the right notes, just not necessarily in the right order.
Yeah, very good.
I think that's a very good suggestion. Then there's someone who's taken it very seriously here, and they've written, the obvious answer would be Lester Prez Young, but I nominate Miles Davis as first among equals. Miles was a great recruiter of talent and had an unparalleled eye for brilliance. All right, well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your suggestions. Okay, well, look, so far our president of the week, Claire Martin, has suggested Pat Metheny in charge of transport, but we'll see about that. I'm still mulling it over. But you have got through Betty Carter as Secretary of Education.
Yes.
Let's hear your third selection. Okay. We'll play a little blast of this and then you can tell us who it is. As if people didn't know. Tell us who that was.
Kurt Elling.
Wonderful performance of Resolution there, taken from Man in the Air. So what cabinet position do you want Kurt Elling to fulfill?
Kurt Elling is going to be my Secretary of State.
Okay.
Well, what a sound. But he's a really smart guy. He's a very, very clever man. He was going to be an academic. He was actually studying religion. But he was singing in these clubs in Chicago at night. And he said this great thing, which I thought was lovely. He said, Saturday night, won over Sunday morning, and he ditched it and he became a singer, and I'm just really thrilled because so he's a really good people person. Everybody loves him. He gets new bands together, so he's always looking for not the obvious choices. And also what's really important, Marcus, I thought, is that he speaks about 4 or 5 different languages.
That's a good start, isn't it?
It's a very
good start.
Secretary
of State would have to deal with all sorts of foreign leaders and ambassadors and travel and represent the United States of Jazz around the world. So if he speaks those languages, that's a very good start.
It's a very good start. So he's got all that. He's fearless. He's bold. You heard there he took on that John Coltrane phenomenal piece and put his own words to it. So he's pushing the music out there. Mm. He's pushing the boundaries. And he's a really good bloke. He loves a whiskey. He's a giggle. And I just think he'll be just right. And he stays up all night. Hardly needs to sleep. He's a lovely dad. He's a wonderful, loyal husband. He's just got everything I want. He's got gravitas. He would do a good job, I think.
You're selling him way too hard. What's going on here?
Because I'm pissed off about Pat Metheny. I've got to really sell this one.
You're worried I'm going to block Kurt Elling.
I really want Kurt in there.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm quite persuaded. I mean, the fact, as Secretary of State, that he speaks foreign languages.
Brilliant. I've not met anyone really that doesn't sort of see his artistry and see that he's an original voice. You heard a bit there. I mean, we're all striving to get our own sound. When he sings, bang, you hear it's him. And he's created this wonderful career. In fact, in Chicago, he did so well, he ended up buying Barack Obama's first house. So he's
did he?
Yeah, his politics are great. So he's already in there with the politics. So you know.
And he kind of helps to gel people together.
Yeah, he does. And he puts he does things like he goes on cruise ship gigs and he starts singing in his dressing room in his little room, and there'll be some fantastic Cuban trumpet player next to the, and then they'll suddenly start playing through the wall, and then they'll start a band, and then he'll be singing in Cuba. I mean, he just lets ideas roll, and they're very successful. So I'm really rooting for him to be accepted.
Please. I can tell. I'm desperately trying to think of a reason to say
and
no.
And I also slightly fancy him. Sorry. All right.
There we go. There we go. Now it's out. When I said earlier, you're selling him so hard, what's going on?
Yeah, I have a crush.
That was what was
crush,
going on.
It.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I don't see any better reason for giving someone a position in politics than fancying them. I mean, that's...
Well, you know, that's being honest, I have to be honest, part of my job.
Yeah. It is confusing when awful politicians are quite good looking.
Yes. Mm. Who? Yeah, which one? Paddy Ashdown in his younger days,
yeah,
maybe.
Exactly. Why should I be the first to speak?
Go on.
You can all internally deal with the politicians who you know are problematic. I mean, look, somebody out there found Matt Hancock sexy, so... Uh-huh. All right, well... I can't see any reason, frankly, to stand in the way of Kurt Elling, who, as you say, like, is a phenomenal musician, still making
ridiculous.
Brilliant, brilliant music.
Absolutely is.
To be your Secretary of State. I'm going to put it out to the audience, though. What do we think? Kurt Elling, the Secretary of State?
Overwhelmingly, yes. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
If
Thank
nothing
you.
Else, it does, as you said, it takes guts to put lyrics to a Coltrane piece from A Love Supreme and go,
sure,
there's more to be done with this, which is exactly what jazz is about. All right, well, he's through. He's passed.
Yes.
Finally, your wild card. Everybody's going to know this, but let's hear it.
Yeah.
Gosh, who was that?
Oh, I don't know. We'll say it at once. Ella Fitzgerald!
Ella Fitzgerald, yeah, performing Blue Skies from the album Get Happy. All right, and now this is your wild card.
It's so unwild, isn't it, to have chosen her? You just think, I mean, I know.
No, it's not. The wild card is the position that you put them in.
Okay, all right. So I've put Ella Fitzgerald as the Secretary of Happiness and Wellbeing. I think that's going to be the
Come
one.
Come on,
I think someone said it actually earlier.
That should be a ministerial position anyway.
Yeah,
there
absolutely.
Should just be someone whose job it is just to keep an eye on, like, are the people okay?
Yeah.
Are they all right?
She would be great for this. I mean, I heard the wonderful Zara McFarlane's jazz cabinet, and she chose her as one of her singers. Well, you've already sort of talked about the brilliance of her, but she just is the epitome of joy and swing and happiness. Everybody, even if they don't like jazz, you say, she's like jazz? Oh, not really. She's like Ella Fitzgerald? I love Ella Fitzgerald. So she's won the hearts of everyone, regardless of whether they think they like jazz or not. But she also had that tough upbringing, but all the way through, she was happy. She loved singing, that beautiful face emanating all that love. Mm. So I think she would be great for that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, really. I mean, she was obviously absolutely incredible. And like a lot of the jazz singers at that time, you know, it was a painful and difficult life for her. It was tough.
Yeah.
She was able to dig into that stuff and be... incredibly emotional on stage, but also, as you say, be playful, joyful. Those recordings, the two recordings, Ella Meets Louis, which she did fairly late on, you know, they were both very well established
brilliant.
By then, but they're so playful and joyful with each
other. And if you think about the album cover, actually, where they're both sitting on, it's the most unpretentious picture on the front of an album cover. It just, these people were real. And I think she would just be, you know, she's gone through the adversity of that sort of tough upbringing. But she also, when she was discovered by Chick Webb Dye, the big band leader who gave her a break, she ran that band after he died. So she was the first female big band leader.
I didn't know that. She took over Chick
Webb's
band.
She took it over and she did a great job. So she was really flying.
The band from the Savoy?
Yeah, she was she said, no, we won't fold, I'll lead it. So she's got strength. She's just,
I think,
amazing.
Didn't she start, didn't she enter a competition at the Savoy?
Yeah,
she was going to go and dance.
Dance, that's right.
And then she saw two other dancers
and
went, no, I don't think so. I'll have a go at singing. Imagine if she'd gone, yeah, I can dance. And we may never have heard Ella Fitzgerald. And did you amazing. Pick Blue Skies from Get Happy because it's a good example of her being joyful and all the rest of it? Or is it like, what are your favourite records of Ella?
Well, that Get Happy album was sort of a compilation, and that Blue Skies was from the 1958 album. She did the songbook. She was very famous for doing the song. It was called Poor to George Gershwin, and that's from the Irving Berlin songbook. Mm. And I just love that song. I mean, it's just blues. It's a cheery, fantastic singer singing a cheery, fantastic song. It's a bit of a win-win. But I think her songbook series for me, you know, those through that 10-year period, that's it. If you want to hear jazz vocals, that and then how to tell a story, and the way she's so measured, but she's playful, and she's such a great musician. And Dizzy Gillespie, of course, championed her and taught her how to scat. She used to
learn
to scat with Dizzy, so she ties in really nicely.
Yeah, it's a pretty great place to learn. Alongside Diz, definitely. I love this. There's a great quote which I'd never seen before, but when I was reading up on her, she said, the only thing better than singing is more singing.
Yeah, more singing.
It's so great. When it's your work, when it's your life, singing, does it still light you up like that?
I think about that quote a lot because I can't say I think like that a lot. I've missed it through lockdown, of course. Mm. I can't wait to get... but she was singing with just the creme de la creme of musicians. No wonder she didn't want to stop, you know. But I think when you're a singer for a living, when I sing at home and I'm not concentrating, I'm terrible. My husband says, I can't believe you get paid to do that because I'm just really rubbish because I'm just sort of singing for the joy of singing and singing along, and it's not...
What's your go-to? Do you mean like just blasting along with the radio?
Yeah.
And what do you like to sing along to?
Oh, I'll do any old rubbish. But you know, the new ABBA song I quite like. We're just sort of singing without thinking about it. Because when you're actually singing, like tonight, you actually try and make it look effortless, but you have to really concentrate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just sing off key and stuff. Because when it becomes your job, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, are you funny when you're not at work?
I'm often not that funny when I'm at work. Well, for that, you can definitely have Ella Fitzgerald as your Secretary of Happiness.
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The First Lady of Jazz and genuinely a ray of sunshine.
That's exactly right.
I've never put on an Ella Fitzgerald record and not felt better.
Yes.
At the end of it. Never once. Yeah. You know,
that's a really
incredible.
That's a great thing to say.
We talked a little bit about what you do in education.
Yeah.
But what else would you do? You've got all these powers available to you. You've assembled some very cool people to do good things, brighten the world up.
Yeah.
What else would you like to do?
I'd like to teach mostly men to dance. I'd like to have like men dance club.
Do you mean like physically teach them how to dance,
or
that thing
to
of
do it, you know,
like just letting go and
go.
Getting involved?
Let go, because I mean, I really love going dancing, and I have to go with my gay mates at gay clubs and have a lovely time. But my husband will not dance; he's terrible, and all my other mates just won't dance. So I'd love to have men dance classes; would be good. Street samba. If you walked out at lunchtime, you could have a quick samba thing. I think the world needs a bit more dancing as well, so I'd have a bit of that as well.
I agree.
And I'd also.
There's a lot of women applauding that, and the men sitting there going, "Well, I mean, I'm happy to clap, but I'm not going to show anybody."
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind if a bloke can't dance as long as he's like going for it, and you think, "Oh, he can't dance, but he's blessed him. He's really going for it. He's let himself go, and he's liberated in his terribleness. You know, he just goes for it."
Maybe that brings us back to Ella Fitzgerald. Like you could see, you could hear that there was pleasure in it. That there was real joy.
I mean,
so dance classes,
for all the fellas. But on a serious note, I'm asked to be a patron of a couple of charities, and one of them is called Off the Fence, and we're really trying to get the homeless people housed in Brighton, and that really is a big thing for me. You know, it breaks my heart. So I'd really like to do more for people that are sleeping out on the streets and help them out. And like in lockdown, when suddenly they were all okay, we're in hotels, why can't that continue?
Yeah, it's really embarrassing for all the people in politics that turned out to be an achievable thing, right?
Yeah, well, there's
they're
so
like,
many empty buildings.
Oh, okay, well, when you decide, you know, those people shouldn't be on the street.
Yeah,
that's not okay.
Exactly right. So, that, you know, I've been talking about dancing and being a bit sort of flippant, but that is a big thing for me. So I'd like to seriously try and sort that out. please.
Well, I think that's an excellent suggestion, along with the dancing, obviously.
But what about Pat? Is he going to go in or not?
No way. It's not happening. Listen, I've considered your four choices, and most of them are going through. But Pat, I'm afraid I can't let it happen. Sadly.
Enough.
Now, listen, don't be down about it. You got three out of the four over the line.
I did.
And thank also, this is completely arbitrary. It could have been any of them.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, that's it. It's all the time we have. My thanks to this week's president, Claire Martin, to my producer, Debbie Kilbride, exec producer, Alison Vernon-Smith, and to Pizza Express. The Cabinet of Jazz is a Loftus Media production for Jazz FM, supported by the Audio Content Fund. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for your president, Claire Martin.
Thank you very much. A lot of fun. Thank you. Thank you.